Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, it's good to see you. Know you're wanted and needed, and you are the loved children of God. I guess that makes us all King's kids, don't it? Because our Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're here to worship Him today. So, before we do that, we'll look at a few announcements. You're all invited to a luncheon today as special guests, okay? Ladies Auxiliary Luncheon. Ladies, you have anything to say about that?
Yes, this is a fundraiser for the Women's Auxiliary. And so, anyway, try to come and attend if you can. Emphasize fundraiser. Thank you.
This week, the 22nd, that's today. Don't forget the meal and the fundraiser. You're all invited. Thursday, May the 26th at 10, Bible study. Coming up Friday, June the 3rd at 6, the Deep Run alumni meeting at King's Restaurant. Saturday, June the 4th, 10 to 12, a bridal luncheon for Sydney Wallace at Becky Benson's home. You see the address listed and the instructions, phone numbers, and where they're registered for, as you can shower them with a gift or gifts. Friday the 10th, 6 to 10, the Relay for Life at South North High School. And there's a lot of information listed there, phone numbers, websites. If you got any questions that you need, you can see Joella. Volunteers are needed. Sunday, June the 12th, Senior Sunday, another great day to have lunch. You're all invited. You see the seniors listed. And if you know of any others, let Miss Joanne Grubbs know by May the 15th. June the 25th on a Saturday, 6 p.m., the Deep Run Independence Parade. Continue to think about the vision, the mission for our church. Pray, share your ideas. And remember, none of us are as good as all of us. So your participation is welcome. We had a great convention, I think. The message and the music was uplifting. Great spirit of worship. We're excited about the year to come. Do we have any other announcements? All right.
Checks, cash, or change.
Any others? Stand and let's read together our responsive reading. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
This Jesus God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death.
Because it was not possible that he should be holy.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord hath made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Father, we praise and worship you this morning, Lord. We're here to rejoice in all the marvelous things, not only that you do, but we rejoice in who you are. Our Maker, our Creator, the one who sustains us and perpetrates life for now and forevermore through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Please accept our expressions of worship today as we sing, as we give, as we pray, and as we give testimony to your greatness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Turn to hymn 429, verses 1, 2, and 4. 429.
Thank you.
seated, and Billy has our scripture reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I saw my friend back there. You know who you are. She tells me that. Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 67, and this is the English Standard Version, 1 through 7. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And the New Testament reading is from John 14, 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe me." The word of God. For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We're back.
They told me there wouldn't be anybody here. Place is full.
You know, in the Bible it says make a joyful noise. It doesn't really say what joyful is, so we're going to make a noise anyway.
Me, Lord, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you? Oh, the kindness you've shown. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus,
my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can never repay all I've taken from you. And maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Got one more for you. If you know it, sing along, clap your hands, anything you want to do.
Real slow lullaby.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry. Well, I looked over Jordan, what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Sweet low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. Will you get there before I do? Coming for to carry me home. Just tell my friends that I'm coming too. Coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me. Coming for to carry me home. Well, I'm sometimes up and sometimes down. Coming for to carry me. But still my soul feels heavenly bound. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me home.
Thank y'all.
continue to worship as we pray. I wonder if there are any needs we need to talk about this morning as we pray. Any others? All right, let's be thankful for this day and certainly the blessings God has given to us. Remember these as we worship together. Let us pray. Father God, I praise and worship you this morning. Thank you for all the great, marvelous things that you do in our lives every single day. We're certainly thankful for this day that you've made it possible that we could all be here, so we could focus our attention upon you and upon your great kingdom and your kingdom's work. And we just pray as we worship, Lord, we can feel the presence, the anointing of your Spirit, and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we belong to you and that you have taken up residence in our hearts and lives and give us everything that we need to be the person you created us to be. We certainly remember these needs that have been mentioned this morning, and we pray a blessing upon their lives and those who minister to them and offer care and health and wholeness. Remember our brothers and sisters throughout the world, certainly those in war-torn countries and even those whose lives are being persecuted and places where the gospel is not welcome. We pray your protection upon them. Set a hedge of your angels around them and bring hope to them and peace and protection, and let them know you're there with them always. We pray for our leaders of our land, Lord, and of the world. It's a messy world, and we need men and women to lead and not get in the way, and we just ask, Lord, that you would just pour out wisdom upon their minds and into their presence so we can do the things to promote peace and love, not war and hatred. We thank you that we're again, Lord, that we can be here, and we just offer thanks to you for all you do. You give us everything that we need. Today we'll enjoy a meal, and there'll be more than we can eat. Now, a lot of people don't have that luxury. But you do treat us with royalty and bless us in each and every way. And we want you to know, Lord, that we thank you for that. And so continue to bless us as we worship. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Take your hymn book and turn to hymn 563. 563, and stand. Let's sing verses 1 through 3. 1 and 3, excuse me.
Thank you.
Father God, we acknowledge that you've blessed us and meet our every need. So we give today with a cheerful heart to support your kingdom's work. Bless it, magnify it, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Seated. Our Bible text today comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. Matthew 28, 1 through 20. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guard shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said to them, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And while they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. And after the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted, and Jesus came and said unto them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Our thought today is an order to go. I don't know what's coming to your mind when I said that, an order to go. If you're thinking about a fast food order, a hamburger, Burger King, have it your way. An order to go. Today marks the sixth Sunday of Easter. And we're in a series entitled, "Now This Changes Everything." This series is about why the past don't mean what it used to mean, because there's a newer version of an older story. Amen? And the main reason the past doesn't mean what it used to mean is because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection changes everything. And we should never forget that. Today we're going back to the scene of the resurrection to re-examine some of the first words that were spoken to the disciples when they came face to face with the risen Lord. There's one phrase in particular that we want to focus on in today's message. One phrase we should never forget. One phrase we should apply to our life. Go and tell. Go and tell. You see it again and again in the story. And what we discover in Matthew 28 is that we're on a mission from God. We've been commissioned by Jesus Christ himself. And this mission changes everything about the way we direct our lives and the stories that we tell and the way we communicate with our world. We live in a world today that thrives on bad news. Now, I know none of y'all like bad news. But people are more likely to perk up and pay attention if the news is negative. Imagine the headlines. A politician makes good on his campaign promise. It'll probably be back there about page 8 or 9, 10 maybe. But let the headline be a local politician gets caught in corruption and scandal with many women. Man, that'll be the biggest thing on the front page, won't it? You'll see it before you ever get to the fold. What about if it's a pastor, you know, or a church? Church does a great thing in the community, feeds all people in the neighborhood, and people that don't have money for medicine, they buy their medicine. You'll never see it on the news. Let a church mess up. Let a preacher mess up. It'll be the front page headlines. This preference for bad news may seem to have gotten worse in recent years, but really it's always been that way. Many times in the Bible we're instructed about the way we talk and the way we view things and the things that we say about people. In other words, you got to be careful about the news that you read, because, you know, before long you can begin to think and act like what you're reading. The media, their theme has always been, if it bleeds, it leads. In other words, you start with the most disturbing story, put it on the front page, because that's what sells, and that's what most people will gravitate to. And for this reason, our news feed is filled with lots and lots and lots of bad news. Some would say fake news. And as a result, our conversation needs to be filled with lots and lots and lots of good news, right? Not bad news. We must not become like the culture around us. And in the midst of all this bad news surrounding us, followers of Jesus have a message for the world to hear. It's not based on bad news at all. It's based on the best news that anyone could ever imagine. That's why it's called good news. It's why it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means good news. That is, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he's risen from the dead and he lives today. And he has power over sin and death. And through his power, you can overcome whatever life may bring your way, good or bad. Because Jesus is alive, he is the Lord, and he's with you always. And this changes everything. If it were not for that, all we would have to tell was bad news. But let me tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. To go and tell this good news to our world around us, that's our message, and that's our mission, and nothing else. That's how the followers of Jesus throughout the first century changed the known world. They went and told the message. Now, today we'll look quickly at five go-and-tell aspects of our mission. The mission that we've been given, the commission we've been given through Jesus Christ. First of all, our mission is to, number one, go and tell others what you have seen. In John's account of the resurrection story, he adds some details that Matthew didn't include. In John's story, we learn that after Mary saw the empty tomb, she ran to Peter and she said in verse 2 of John 20, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where to put him." Now, at this point, Mary wasn't making a bold proclamation of faith. She was just saying what she saw. She was just giving testimony to what she had witnessed. She was saying she really didn't fully understand what it meant. And for now, she was just telling Peter what she had seen. She was a witness to something, and she was telling it. And this is where our Easter story begins as well. We have moments when those empty tomb moments, when we don't really see it yet, we really don't understand it yet, but that's okay. Even when you can't make sense of everything that's happening in your life, you can still tell others what you have seen and what you have experienced in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Like Mary, there may be times when you just have to say, I don't know what this means. I really don't understand what's happening. I mean, I don't know why these turn events are turning out like they are. And I'm not going to pretend that I've got all the answers that I don't have. But I do know that soon enough, at the right time, I'll know what I need to know. But for now, I'm just telling you what I know. Your go and tell story starts with telling those around you what you have seen, what you have witnessed, even when you don't have all the answers. And you know, by the way, if we waited until we had all the answers, we'd be sitting and waiting. We'll never have all the answers. But we do have something to tell. The story in the book of John where Jesus healed a blind man, and afterwards the Pharisees, these religious Pharisees, confront this man, and they're telling him that Jesus is a sinner. And then they begin to ask him, what do you think about Jesus? And after some conversation, they just pressed him, what do you think about this sinner Jesus? What do you have to say about him? And listen to what this man said. I don't know whether or not he's a sinner. Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. We've all got something to tell. And I'm sure over the years, this man's knowledge and understanding of Jesus increased dramatically. I'm sure he came to understand that Jesus is Christ and Lord and Savior. But at this point, his story began with this. I don't know all the answers. I don't know everything there is to know about Jesus. But this is my experience. This is what I understand right now. Let me tell you this. Man, I was blind. But now I can see. The first part of You Go and Tell's mission is to simply share with others your story as it is happening each and every day of your life, even when you don't fully understand everything as it happens. The second thing is we've been commissioned, and our mission is to go and tell others what God has promised to do. A lot of elections are won because a man will get up there, or a woman, and promise somebody they're going to do something, good or bad. Mary's first encounter on Easter morning was not with the risen Christ, but with the angels dressed in dazzling white. And he told her that Jesus was not there, that he had risen. And then he said, go quickly and tell his disciples. He's risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. And Mary took off. Man, I bet she was kicking dirt off her feet, huh? I can see her running right now. She was going to find the disciples and tell them what she'd seen. And she still wasn't sure about what was going on, probably. The Bible says she was filled with joy, but on the other hand, she was filled with fear. And she had no idea what was going to happen next. But she went on her way to tell the disciples that Jesus had made a promise, and he had promised to meet them if they would go to Galilee. Part of our go and tell mission is to share with others and to remind them what God has promised to do. That's pretty simple. We're to go and tell others in the midst of difficult circumstances. Look, I know this is tough, but I also know that God is going to see you through. He's promised us that. God has promised us that he'll always be with us. Even if the world ends and there's nothing else left, God will be there. God has promised that you will overcome. He's named you as an overcomer. He has promised to make all things beautiful in his time. So don't give up. Don't give up, not yet. Hang in there. And as we go and we speak these promises to others, it helps others be assured. It helps them be encouraged. It fills their lives with hope and expectation. Hallelujah. Mary told the disciples about Jesus' promise to meet them in Galilee. You know what the disciples could have said? Man, you got to be kidding me. You mean we got to go all the way to Galilee? Why can't he just come down here to Jerusalem to the church and meet with us down here? I mean, Galilee's about 60 miles. We're going to have to walk out there in all that dry dust. Lord, I mean, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump. I mean, man, give me a break. I mean, the real question is, where is he now? I mean, we got things to do. We really ain't got time to go to Galilee. We need him here in Jerusalem. I mean, that's what the good said. And many times, that's what we're tempted to say. Which is why we need to hear again and again and again the promises of God. We need to hear them. But beloved, we need to do more than just hear them. We need to repeat them. We need to repeat them and repeat them and repeat them until they sink in. After 40 years of following Jesus, I can say with assurance that as far as God is concerned, a promise made is a promise kept. And I can also say there will be some in-between time in your life. Seasons in which you're desperately waiting for a promise to become a reality. It'll be dry times, it'll be lean times. And it's at these times when you need to hear again and again and again the promises of God. Beloved, we need to be speaking the promises of God. And in the same way, when people in your life are in the midst of an in-between time, when they're still in Jerusalem and they've yet to make the journey to Galilee, you know what they need to hear the most? They need to hear, hang on a little longer. They need to hear, don't give up. They need to hear, God is faithful. And I'm going to be faithful to God too. And I'm going to be with you just like God is. He's not going to give up on you. You can trust Him. And you can trust Him. And here are the promises of God. Hang on to them and keep the promises that God has made. Go and tell mission is to remind one another, as often as necessary, of the great and the marvelous promises of God. That'd be a good series, wouldn't it? All right. The third thing is, our mission is to go and tell others that they got a second chance. Anybody here ever had a second chance at anything? It's pretty good, isn't it? How about a third? Yeah. When the woman left the tomb to tell the disciples what they had seen, they encountered Jesus face to face. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about that. Listen to what Jesus said. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. There's a distinction there. That the angel said, tell his disciples. Jesus said, tell my brothers. This was the first time that Jesus referred to his followers as brothers. You realize what he's talking about. He's talking about that band of misfits and underachievers who abandoned him in his darkest hour. One of them, the so-called leader of the group, denied him in the public square. The rest ran for cover and hid, except for John. At this point, to consider these men followers would have been kind of a bit of fake news, wouldn't it? To consider them as friends would really have been a joke, wouldn't it? But Jesus said, when he encountered them face to face and he looked at them, tell my brothers. He knew what had happened. He knew what they had done. But he wanted them to know, that's all in the past. Everything has changed. It's time for a fresh start. And this time, I want you to be my brother. Maybe there's some of you here today are wondering, is it possible that Jesus would ever consider himself to be my brother? I want you to know that that answer is yes. And it's yes only because of the resurrection. The resurrection, my friend, changes everything. And no matter what your past may be, Jesus died on that cross to pay for your sins. And he arose from the dead in victory and in power to offer you today to call you himself your brother. I tell you, that's a story that you need to hear. But more than that, it's a story you need to tell. The world needs to know about the mercy and the goodness and the forgiveness of our God who gives a second chance. They need to hear what Jesus said in John 3:17. God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If no one's ever told you this before, I'm telling you now. And if you've never told anyone about this part of the story, it's time to go and to tell. Tell everyone you can. Tell everyone, every chance you get, that Jesus, the God of the forgiven past, God is the God of the second chance. God is the God of a brand new life. And in this new life that he offers, he calls on all who will receive him. and he calls himself your brother. Jesus is the resurrected Lord, and this changes everything. Ain't that good news? We have an obligation. We have a mission. We have a commission to go and tell and to let the world know. But I also want you to see that our mission goes a little bit further. The fourth thing is we're to go and tell others about a life of obedience. That's a good word, isn't it? Obedience. How many want to be obedient to your wife? And how many wives want to be obedient to your husband? Oh, me. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've heard that many times, haven't we? And then he said, and teaching them to obey. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Sometimes we have a hard problem with obey, don't we? You know, there's traffic laws we're supposed to obey. And we love to proclaim things like, Jesus makes everything better. Jesus makes all things good. Jesus can turn your life around. And these statements are true, but there's a qualifier. There's a qualifier implied in each one of these. Jesus can turn your life around. That's absolutely true. But more specifically, obedience to Jesus can turn your life around. There are many Christians whose lives are like a never-ending roller coaster, and I've been there myself, and many times these ups and downs are the result of lack of obedience to the basic biblical principles God has recorded in His Word. It is true. We reap what we sow. Now, to be clear, I'm saying that in order to thrive in the Christian life, we must learn to live a life of obedience to Jesus. Jesus included a specific word here that cannot be overlooked, teaching. He said, teaching them to obey. Not just telling them. We're good at telling somebody something, aren't we? We're quick to let somebody know when they mess up, aren't we? Huh? Come on now. I know there's more than three people. Not just telling them to obey, but teaching them to obey. There's a big difference. What I'm saying is our mission is not just to tell the world they need to live a certain way. Our mission is to teach the world how to live the right way. There's a difference. It's easy to tell somebody what to do. But it takes backbone and commitment. It takes obedience to the Word of God to show people how to live a certain way. Our mission is to show. You can't teach a victorious Christian life if you're not living a victorious Christian life. You can't teach guitar if you can't play guitar. Can you, Greg? Probably not. You can't teach obedience if you're not living obedience. And so our focus is not to point out to others what they're doing wrong. Our focus is to say instead, look, I've struggled here too. I mean, I know what it means to struggle. I know what it's like to be a sinner in need of God's grace. And here's how I learned to experience victory in this situation. Here's how I learned to walk in obedience. It helped me, and I know it'll help you. There's too many religious people out there who think their mission is to point out everything that's wrong with everyone else. But that's not our mission. That's not what we've been commissioned to do. And that's not your mission. That's not the mission of the church. The mission is to teach others how to live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when we start doing that, God begins to bless. God begins to honor. God begins to bring abundance into a situation that needs it. Teach, not just tell. And the last thing is, I'm not going to say it's the last thing, it's the fifth thing though. Is that we're to go and tell, our mission is to go and tell that he is here always. He's here today. The last words of Matthew record, he said, Jesus said, I'm surely with you always to the end of the age. Do you know what others need to hear? They need to hear you're not alone. And you'll never be alone. People may let you down. Your family may let you down. Politicians may let you down. Religion may let you down. Trouble may come your way. You may really mess up bad in life. And sometimes things will happen you don't understand, but I want you to listen. You're not alone. You're not alone. Every person needs to hear that. And every believer needs to believe that. Every believer needs to tell others at every opportunity that God is with you, no matter how bad it is. God is with you, no matter how good it is. God is with you always, even to the end of time. So part of our go and tell mission is to remind others that God remains faithfully present in our lives every single step of the way. And I tell you, we can read many stories in the Bible where people thought they were in a fight they'd never win, but God showed up. And he's no different today, beloved. We need to let people know that God is with you. And in conclusion, we live in a world where there's so much information. There's a lot of messages flying out there. And the church has a message for the world. You see, the issue is not that we are not spreading information. The issue becomes, are we spreading the right information? Are we spreading the right news? Are we spreading the good news? In regards to the message and the mission that Jesus has entrusted to us, are we faithful to it? Because that's all he's asked us to do. Spread the news. Teach. We live in a world that has an addiction. People feed on bad news. And there's some who even try to package it with the gospel, because the unfortunate truth is that negative religion sells just like negative news. But that's not our message. And that's not our mission. Our mission is to proclaim the good news to a world that desperately needs to hear it. They have no other hope. And we got an order to go. And if not at Burger King, we got an order to go and to tell this good news to all the people we meet around us. That's our message. And that's our mission, to share that story. His story, to share our story with those around us, inviting them to come and be a part of the journey and to share the journey with us, because the truth is, none of us are as good as all of us. We're to tell about the goodness of God, the promises of God, the God of a second chance, the God of mercy, to show and to teach how to live a life faithful to his teachings, knowing that he's here always with us. We've got a story, and it's the right story. It's the best story. It's a good story. It's the good news. God honors it. God blesses it. And God will change lives forever. Now, I tell you, that's good news, isn't it? So, church, we got an order to go. Let's be the church. Let's get moving. Father, we thank you for your word today and what it teaches us. reminds us of what you'll bless and what you'll honor. And it was a faithfulness to going and telling this resurrected story and the good news that changed a world that was full of hatred, idolatry, and just lost. Made a great difference. That's what our land needs today, Father. It needs to receive that great message and know the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless us as we tell that message each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Take your hymn book and stand. Closing hymn is 656, verses 1 and 2. Stand as we sing. Thank you for bringing the spirit of worship today, and don't forget everyone's invited to eat and share a meal, fundraiser. Yes, go ahead.
Could you do the blessing for the food before we go?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. All right. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? All right, God, you've blessed us. You're here with us, and we thank you. We know when we leave, your presence will be with us then, and we thank you for that. Bless us as we go and tell. And a great meal has been provided. Oh, Lord, and as we eat, we pray your blessings upon our lives. And as we fellowship together as brothers and sisters, strengthen our bond and our love for one another, and especially our love for you in Christ's name. Amen.